non lo so, capito.
To avoid gallstones.
Rate of the propulsion.
Zachar.
Yes, ma'am.
I almost fell off my seat with one of those questions says, how do you diagnose the enlargement of the prostate? And one answer was a pap smear. I just got an image of an old man putting his legs in the stirrups.
Yeah, wouldn't that be justice though? That would be awesome.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm looking around for a attendance sheet. Bear with me a second.
Ms. Zachar.
Yes, ma'am.
The ATI do for you today is, what does the ATI do for you today?
The GU practice quiz. It's about 20 questions. It's supposed to help with studying for the exam. It's about 20 questions just on, it's under learning systems. It says renal and, I think it says renal and urinary.
Okay, all right, thank you. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure.
Zachar.
Yes.
Is that standard or dynamic quiz?
Standard.
Okay.
Because the dynamic quiz, you have to build yourself, and I just didn't want you guys to have to build it yourself. It was just, you know, a couple questions just to help out with studying.
Okay.
But we have until tonight to do it, right?
Absolutely. Because I won't even look for them until tomorrow sometime, because I'm a little behind with a lot of stuff too, with trying to get everything together for next semester plus this semester plus the rest of the exams for this week. So,
Ms. Zachar.
Yes, ma'am.
Should we go back and do the standard if we did dynamic?
No, if you did the dynamic, I'll just take whatever. How did you do on the test? I should say, how'd you do on the quiz?
Not great.
And you go back and do the standard then. See if you can get a better grade then.
Ms. Zachar, for the final, are you gonna, can you tell us some things to really study on that is mostly?
Well, most of it is all the questions that, you know, that it's either 18 or 20 questions, and you've seen them all on exams. They're all basic.
The exam I took today.
Huh?
I forgot the exam I took today.
Well, the exam that everybody took today, I can't even talk about yet, because number one, people are still finishing up on it. And number two, I don't know what happened. I can't even begin to, I have to do the analysis on it. I have to do a bunch of stuff with it and see what I'm giving back and what I'm not giving back, because I know what we talked about. I know what is on the slides, and so stuff that's on the slides just isn't given back, because I don't know what else I could have done.
Yeah.
To get across to everybody, and everybody did bad.
Huh?
Yeah. Everybody did not very well.
Everybody?
Yep. Before I'm giving back, and I just looked maybe 15 minutes ago, and before I give anything back, before I look at anything, the majority, the highest grade was an 88. Uh-huh. And I just don't know where to turn from at that point. I have to really look at it, try to figure out where we went wrong.
I think if it would help if you created the test first and then we did like went over the PowerPoints, because a lot of the other teachers will say like,
tell us what's on the test.
Yeah, remember this is going to be on the test, this slide is important. And then sometimes I think like with you go over the PowerPoint first and tell us what's important and we star that, and then when the test comes, like, that's not on the test, something else is on it.
Because what's the sense of me giving you the answers? You're never going to learn that way. Most of the things I teach you the theory. You have to take that theory and put it into the question. You have to learn. This is what NCLEX is like. It's not a matter of being given the answers. It's not a matter of somebody pointing out saying, oh, this is what you need to study. You need to study all of it. Like I could just sit here and read off of PowerPoints all day long. It's not
Mrs. Hacker, we did study all of it. We were online, a few of us, for 3 hours last night studying mm-hmm. everything, reading
yeah,
the book,
we did.
Went over the PowerPoints.
Sometimes
everything.
I use YouTube, I use the pink book that they give us for the ATIs. I did everything.
Everything I possibly could. Plus, I have prior knowledge. If I did not do good on this test, I don't know. I don't know
what you did, Jen, because I didn't look. I haven't looked specifically at, because that's what I was curious about, is if, you know, seeing how you did, since you have prior knowledge, like you said. I can't get onto it right now, because if I do, I'm going to lose the Zoom. Let me see if I can.
The only thing that messed me up a little bit is like on, I think, two questions. Well, obviously a lot more messed me up if the highest grade is an 88. But on two of the questions, it didn't say select all or apply, but then like I clicked multiple and then like it allowed me to click multiple. So then I was like, am I supposed to click multiple or do you just want one answer?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah, I had that issue too.
So that was the only
thing. Guessing myself.
Right. So that was the only thing that I didn't know. I was like, am I supposed to click two? Am I supposed to click one? So then
let me see something here. Let me see if I can do this. Let me make sure everybody is done. Hold on. Okay, can you guys see the screen?
It's the PowerPoint.
Okay, good. Let me do this, because there's still one more person taking the test. Let me see if that person is done.
Are we allowed to have more time on these tests? Because I was under the impression if we didn't finish it by our time limit, that it just stopped.
You would start with an 80.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be, the way that they have it is, I give 80, that was a 50 question test. I gave 85 minutes. We're supposed to be given like a minute and between a minute and a minute and a half per question. If you find that you're not getting done the exams and you need more time, then you need to talk to them about accommodations.
Okay, because I feel like some people could just be starting the quiz late. Like, can you see if people are actually starting it at the time they're supposed to start it at?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I can get this to go down. No, that person is still taking the test. So that person had computer issues. So that person should be done shortly. because we have two periods today to do form two. We don't have much to finish up with form two. So I would like to do, I would like to look at this. Trying to think of how I can do this without giving away the test.
That person isn't on our Zoom right now, right?
I'm assuming not.
They can't be if they're...
Yeah, they can't be if unless they're on two different computers. Plus, if they're taking the test, then potentially, and not saying anybody would do it, but somebody could potentially feed the answers via phone. So not saying I think anybody would do it. I'm just saying the possibilities out there, and you have to look at all possibilities.
The monitor software is
picking up. Monitor, though.
It monitors video and audio.
Yeah, if they're watching. I have my doubts sometimes about them watching. Because the last test, two people got up to get their chargers, and there was never any notification that anybody moved away from the computers.
Watches the test.
Hmm?
Who watches our test? Who proctors it?
ExamSoft.
It's like an AI thing. Like it says online that it like reads your eyeballs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Body language, eyeballs, that kind of stuff.
I know every time I grab my charger, I make sure I like fling it in front of the camera so they can see.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't want them thinking like I'm trying to look at something or whatever.
Okay, let me see if that person is done yet.
Miss Sacker, Marisa.
Hi, Marisa, what's up?
I just want you to know that it was not your fault because I actually like the test. Yes.
I think you're the minority.
It was not as scary. So now I'm very disappointed. I study and I thought it was not scary. And now, wow.
Maybe you got an 88, Marissa.
Oh, I don't think so. Trust me.
I didn't think the questions was bad either.
So, me neither. I thought I knew most of the stuff, but I know there was a lot of stuff that I didn't see or I felt like I didn't know.
There was probably like at least just probably like five questions that I was like, oh, what's going on? Because I was confused because it had some of them you could pick two answers.
Right.
But I don't think the questions was bad.
I didn't think so either, but her saying the highest score is an 88.
Yeah, I know, and that's where I'm trying to figure out where in the world the disconnect comes in.
And that's after studying for like a few days.
Yeah, right. Like numerous flashcards, like.
Yep, I know.
I didn't even touch on GI because I'm studying for GU.
I don't know.
Like I was literally having like nightmares about this. Like I'd wake up in the middle of the night going over symptoms of these conditions.
Okay.
Okay, that person still isn't done yet. How long has that person been on? Oh, it hasn't been an hour yet. Okay. I'm wondering if I could just pull up. Let me see if I can do it this way. Because I would set it up like Mrs. Miller does, where we could review the test and you would just see your wrong answers. But number one, I haven't gone through and figured out which answers I need to give back, you know, which answers we need I need to tweak. And number two, I have to wait until everybody's done the test. And in order to do that, I have to schedule it before as I'm scheduling the test. So I have to give X amount of time in case somebody doesn't take the test. So that's why it's a little difficult to do.
Are we going to spend this whole class talking about this test?
I sure hope not, because I really want to talk farm, because really this is something I just don't want to talk about right now until I really look at it and see, because it's, you know, I don't know. I feel like I beat my head against the wall and I just don't know where we went wrong with it. Let's talk some farm for a while.
Can I just also give a suggestion? I know we like finished the chapters at the end of last week. And I know we had the whole weekend to study, but we have 3 other tests and a practicum this week. So I feel like we're trying to cram everything in mm-hmm. that we weren't given enough time to like really be able to study for each test appropriately. I feel like we're all just cramming everything in and trying to get what we can in our brains and remember what we can. And it's just,
that's not Ms. Zachary's fault either. Though.
No, absolutely. I'm not pointing blame. I'm just saying, like, I think that might be another issue why a lot of us didn't do so well, because we're trying to cram in all these tests and it's,
well, I know, like, explode. I kept getting like GI and GU a little mixed up because they were kind of similar, but like I tried to like keep them separate, but I understand what you're saying.
But I didn't even look at the other 2 tests for the end of the week. I focused predominantly on the
same. Ones
for
today. I haven't
seen
the other
test. At this point, I'm on to the next test. If I failed, I failed it. That's how I feel about it, because I have 3 more tests to worry about. I can't just sit here and concentrate on 1 test.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. We're going to move on.
We should just get to farm, because our test is at the end of the week, and I don't want to finish this another class and not have enough time to study for this test.
Exactly. That's what we're going to do. We're going to move on, because like I said, there's still, my hands are tied anyway, because somebody's still taking the test. So, and I really do need the time to look at it and to see what I can give back and what I can do and what I can't do. So give me some time with that. Like I said, I can't get into the results right now because I don't want them coming up on the screen right now before I'm able to see what I can tweak. Okay. So moving on. Let me figure out where we were. We were down to laxatives. That sounds appropriate for right now. Let's see.
Have you been able to go to the school to have the lectures uploaded, please?
I'm at the school right now. Mr. P right now is in with the orientation class. I had no idea that I had loaded the lectures onto the old Dropbox because I wasn't able to get into him. I tried to send them to him in an email, and he said it was too large of a file. I couldn't do it that way. So I put it on the old Dropbox. Nobody let us know, because I went to the other teachers this morning. We didn't know that the other Dropbox had been disconnected. So that's where that is. I have that. I'm going to give him that later on today when I see him, when he's done with orientation, so he can put that in the Dropbox, so the stuff will be there.
Yeah, just for, at least
for you to study for finals and all. Like I said, the finals, the questions, I tried to make them as easy as I could, because you got enough stuff to worry about with finals. They are basic questions, and they are questions that you've seen on other tests. There's nothing new, there's nothing that, you know, nothing that should stump you. So hopefully it's good. We'll see. Laxatives. Why do we use laxatives? Because we get constipated. What is constipation? Constipation is just defined as infrequent or difficult passage of stool. Basic, pure, and simple. Constipation is a symptom, not a disease. So it's a symptom of whatever's going on with the patient, whether it's something along the lines of medication, disease process. It's they're having a problem. They need relief. What are the laxatives that we take? We take bulk formulons. Psyllium is Metamucil. Methylcellulose is Citracell. They're bulk forming. They take the water in the intestine, bulk up stool so that it's easier to pass. Emollients just soften. Docusate is colace. Mineral oil. The hyperosmotics just do the same thing as the bulk forming, kind of, really. They pull water into the bowel in order to make it easier to pass the stool. Polyethylene glycol is Miralax. Lactulose
Lactulose and sorbitol are along the same lines, and we have other slides for these. So you just have to, you know, write down what you want to offer this. But sorbitol and lactulose are all related to fructose. Fructose is able to pull in water and glucose into the bowel to help pass stool easier. Saline. The magnesiums help with saline to pull things into the bowel to make passage easier. That would be your mag citrates, your magnesium hydroxide, which is milk of magnesia, and your stimulants, Senecot and bisacodyl Ducalux. Now, how do they work? So as I said, they add fiber to the stool, they add bulk so that it's easier to pass. They absorb water to increase bulk. They, with the irritants, the stimulants, they distend the bowel and irritate the bowel to promote reflex activity. They can lubricate the intestinal walls in order to make things easier, as in the mineral oils. Colase, Surfac isn't just another name for colase. The hyperosmotics increase fecal water content, extend the bowel. The extension of the bowel is what triggers the bowel to start moving. So increases peristalsis and helps get out the badness. Lactulose, you will note, also is used to reduce elevated serum ammonia levels in people with liver failure. Lactulose is also found in sugar-free candy. Sugar-free candy will have fructose in it as opposed to glucose. It's the fructose in it that is related to lactulose, and it helps people, like little old ladies, take their, you know, get their sugar-free candy in the morning, and, you know, then they go and they're able to move their bowels easier, and they don't realize that what they're taking is something that's promoting bowel movements. Salines, the mag citrates. Mag citrate is like dynamite. Increases osmotic pressure. Just another way of saying it brings water into the intestine. Increases bowel distension to promote bowel movements. Milk of magnesia, same thing as mag citrate, except it's in a different kind of base. It's more milky. Mag citrate, like I said, it comes in this lemon lime stuff. Irregardless, it's like dynamite. You need to be very cautious of using the magnesium products in people with renal insufficiency, secondary to them being unable to process the excess magnesium in their systems. Related to this also, with the hypermagnesemia, with people with renal problems, Epsom salts are magnesium salts. And Fleet's enemas are along the same lines of high in sodium and magnesium. Stimulants. Your Senecot, your Ducalux. Ducalux is the most commonly used stimulant laxative. Comes in little tiny pills, and that little tiny pill is like a stick of dynamite. It really works, and it works well. Senecot usually takes about 6 to 12 hours to work. A lot of people get abdominal pain from Senecot, just from the stimulant action. We also have laxatives for people who are addicted to opioids and they have chronic constipation from the opioid use. The opioids will by nature, they will slow down peristalsis. I didn't take roll yet, Kim. it slows down peristalsis. So sometimes just taking Colace isn't enough for people that are on long-term opioid use. So they've come up with some laxative products that really do help with this problem. And it's Relistor and Tereg. And Tereg's the one that you see more often out there. And they really do help. Strict regulations for use because they are quite effective. Why don't you take laxatives? You have an allergy to the product. You have an abdominal problem that could cause potentially either increase in obstruction or cause any kind of perforation. Acute surgical abdomen, somebody that has an appendicitis, you're not going to turn around and give them any kind of laxative, even though a lot of times the initial signs and symptoms of appendicitis, you know, the abdominal pain might present like somebody feeling like they're constipated. Anybody that has nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain, you don't give them any kind of laxatives unless directed by the physician. Somebody with a fecal impaction, you would use more of the mineral oil type of things to help lubricate. You wouldn't do anything bulky, as in the Metamucil and all that. You don't want to increase the bulk. You want to get things out. So you would use mineral oil enemas. One of the things that works phenomenally and it is guaranteed to work each and every time is a milk and molasses enema. It's an old time cure. A lot of OBGYNs use it for moms. And it literally is those two products. They use it as an enema and it works like lightning. It's very good.
What is it called again?
Milk and molasses enemas. Some people like shoofly pie for the same reason. Molasses works very, very well. It is along the lines of the hyperosmotic. It draws in sugar into the system, sugar and water. Any kind of intestinal obstruction. If somebody's got an ileus where their large intestine, small intestine is not moving at all, you don't want to compound that. By giving them a laxative, it's not going to move anything along. An intestinal obstruction, as in a hernia, you're only going to make it worse and potentially cause a perforation of the bowel, which is emergent. Any kind of undiagnosed abdominal pain, and this is an NCLEX question, they will ask you about laxatives and undiagnosed abdominal pain. You never give laxatives with undiagnosed abdominal pain. What's a big drawback for laxatives? What are some of the adverse effects? They can all cause electrolyte imbalances. They can all cause fluid imbalances because they're drawing water back into the bowel. Therefore, it's not in the, you know, it's not in the system. So you have potential for, dehydration. You have a potential for metabolic alkalosis, depending upon if somebody ends up with severe diarrhea from the laxatives, you can end up with a metabolic alkalosis. Older adults are more susceptible to fluid and electrolyte imbalances. And a lot of people have to be cautioned about overuse and misuse of laxatives, because they will lead to these electrolyte imbalances. And of course, you have to be very careful of people with their renal status as far as fluids and electrolytes. So what do we want to do? We want to get a big history. We want to get a good history. What's their normal bowel patterns? Do they normally go once a day? Do they normally go every 3 days? Do they normally go three times a day? Some people, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has different elimination patterns. Everybody has different preferences about laxatives that they want to use also. Some people want to go for the Gusto and go for the big guns, the mag citrate. Some people want, you know, don't mind waiting and using some of the slower acting laxatives. They get better results. Irritable bowel syndrome is just chronic intestinal discomfort. You get cramps, you can have diarrhea or constipation. You can have IBS with constipation, IBS with diarrhea, sometimes with both types of symptoms, depending. People usually just avoid irritating food or basically the over-the-counter products that will solve their problem, either the antidiarrheals or the laxatives. Women are usually affected more than men with irritable bowel syndrome. Little fact out there. Now, drugs for irritable bowel syndrome. Your Tegaserid is for irritable bowel syndrome with constipation. Amitiza also, irritable bowel syndrome with constipation. Linzess that you'll see advertised on TV is basically for irritable bowel syndrome with constipation. As far as testing goes, I would not test on exact names of these. These are not names that we normally see for irritable bowel syndrome that you see out there. You see Linzess more and more because it's becoming popular and people are seeing it on TV. The other one that you might see out there is Viberzi. That's the one for irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea. Those are the two that are seen on TV that people are using more and more often, and they're getting good results from them. Now, there is a black box warning with these. May cause ischemic colitis. I found that yesterday. That's why it's not on the slide right now, because I just found it last night when I was...
And that's for all three of those medications listed right there?
Yep, for all of them.
And what is it causing?
Ischemic colitis. The nursing implication. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Marisa, you said Viberzi is for the syndrome when they have diarrhea, and you mentioned a second name, and I was looking for it. It's not in my slide.
Linzess. Linzess. And Viberzi is Viberzi.
Thank you.
Yep. Nursing implications, once again, revolve around getting a good history for people. Finding out, you know, their normal bowel habits, what causes the irritable bowel syndrome if they are aware. Sometimes it's a matter of food, sometimes it's a matter of stress. Sometimes it's it's just a matter of what's going on in their life. Sometimes it revolves around menstrual periods. It's individualized for people as to what it is that will promote this irritable bowel syndrome. Look for underlying causes. Look for habits, look for foods. Make sure that the patient is aware that they need to follow administration guidelines, you know, for these medications. Most of these irritable bowel syndrome medications, the newer ones that we had just talked about, they're prescription. They can also get low, and we all know that most of the antidiarrheals and laxatives are over the counter. People need to be very cognizant of administration guidelines, and there's a reason for them. And then assess therapeutic response. Therapeutic response would be, did it work? Didn't it work? Is the patient happier? Is the patient in less distress? Is it less affecting the patient's life? Because let's face it, if you've got irritable bowel syndrome with diarrhea, you're in the bathroom constantly, which, you know, puts kind of crimp in your style as far as work and as far as having a life. Patient teaching with all these bowel products. Some of the antidiarrheals are anticholinergic. Some of the antidiarrheals can produce, you know, some drowsiness. You need to be aware of activities that require mental alertness. Patients need to know what symptoms to look out for, that if things are getting worse, if their stomach becomes distended, firm, hard, you know, tympanic, they can't press in on their stomach. They bounce on the stomach and they hear, sounds like a drum. They have increased abdominal pain or different abdominal pain than what is their normal abdominal pain. If their symptoms are usually diarrhea in nature and all of a sudden they are constipated and they can't go, they need to report that. If there's any kind of rectal bleeding, that rectal bleeding can be bright red blood. They could see blood, you know, that's a little bit darker. It might be up higher in the GI system. Any kind of rectal bleeding at all, they really should notify their physician. It could be hemorrhoidal. It could be, you know, other issues going on. It could be a colitis type of issue. And of course, any kind of fever, muscle weakness, muscle cramping, which you can get from the magnesiums, from the hypermagnesemia. You would want to report that to a physician also.
How would you know that you have hypermagnesemia?
Well, that's why you would go to the physician so he could diagnose that. If you're taking the mag citrate, if you're taking the milk of magnesia, that would be the first clue for the physician to look, you know, to see what your mag level is.
Thank you.
Yep. This is very important for clients taking the powder form, any kind of Metamucil, Citracel, those kind of products. They need to be diluted. Patients can't take them by the spoonful into their mouth. It's going to cause an obstruction. It's going to block everything up. They need to know that they need to mix it in at least 6 ounces of some kind of liquid. Drink it immediately so it doesn't have time to like form, you know, harden in the glass. Get it down. You could end up with an esophageal or a throat obstruction, any kind of obstruction on the way down. You can end up with an obstruction in your small bowel if it is not dissolved properly. It's very important for patients to understand that. And then once again, advise clients to take any product that they're using, probiotics, prebiotics. We didn't really discuss them, but they're all over out there too, as far as promoting normalized gastric flora. Really helps with, you know, just normal everyday constipation. They really don't help with chronic constipation as much as the other products. For somebody that needs instant relief, these are things that take a little bit of time to work. So you would advise them to please use these products as directed. Does anybody have any questions about bowel products? Okay, let's run down attendance real quick. Mabel?
I'm here.
Okay, Carolyn?
Here.
Jen?
Here.
Okay, Colleen?
Here.
Sierra?
She's here.
Louise?
Here.
Angel?
Here.
Jackie?
Here.
Okay. Chris? I think Chris just stepped away. Julius?
Here.
Jeanette?
Here.
Shondae?
Here.
Madeline?
Here.
Isabella?
Here.
Shahara?
Here.
Marisa?
Present.
Katie?
Here.
Okay. Rebecca?
Here.
Hattie?
Here.
Okay. Donna?
Here.
Elizabeth?
Here.
Naisha?
She stepped away to use the bathroom, but she's here.
Okay, thank you. Alicia?
Here.
Melissa?
Here.
Jadon?
Here.
Ashley?
Here.
Claire?
Yeah.
Dominique?
Here.
Kim?
Here.
Angela?
Here.
Katie Rauscher? Katie, thought we talked to her.
Yes, we did before.
Yeah, that's what I thought. She'll be back. Carmen?
I'm here.
Okay. Keisha?
Here.
Tiersten?
Here.
Samantha?
Here.
Lakeisha?
Here.
Kyron?
Here.
Stephanie?
Here.
Rebecca?
Here.
Katie?
Here.
Kaylin?
Here.
Okay, next page. Gwen?
I'm here.
There you are. Lauren?
Here.
Cassandra?
Here.
Crystal?
Here.
And Barraquette?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
Katie Rauscher also stepped away to use the bathroom.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Decker, it's Chris and I'm here.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay. Nobody has any questions about this part? Let me pull up the other one then. Okay.
Ms. Sacker, I'm here. Sorry, I ran to the bathroom.
Okay, no problem. Okay. This one. Oh, Kim, don't even say that. Kim's talking about it snowing. I am so sick of looking at snow. I can't even imagine, you know, when it starts to warm up, what it's going to look like. It's just going to be one massive flood around here.
How many chapters is on this test?
50, 51, and 52, I do believe. Right. It's the anti-nauseas, the bowels, and the antacids, the acid reducers.
They're talking about 50 degrees sometime this week.
Oh, I don't want to see it. That's going to be bad. There's going to be ice dams all over the place, and there's going to be floods. That's always when we run into trouble is when we get all of a sudden warms up. Okay, let's talk.
We'll have enough water to dilute the Metamucil.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's for sure. They could put a whole bunch of it in the river. It would still dilute it. Antiemetics, anti-nausea drugs. God's gift to humans, antiemetics. Stop the vomiting. Where does vomiting come from? Vomiting comes from the urge to vomit comes from the vomiting center in the brain. Bet you didn't know there was a vomiting center in your brain too. You have a cough center, you have a vomiting center. There's all kinds of things that go on. Basically, it's because these are all impulses. The urge to vomit is an impulse due to some noxious stimulus. You know, be it, you know, a virus, a bacteria, you ate something bad, you don't like oysters. There is some sort of stimulus that gets you to try to expel that noxious stimulus from your body. Now, there's also people that have problems with vomiting, nausea, vomiting, that take chemo, or post-op patients. These are all people that will have other problems, and their problems with nausea and vomiting are a little bit more intense, but ultimately comes from the same vomiting center in the brain, the impulse to vomit, to rid your body of what's bothering it. With chemo, obviously, it's the chemotherapeutic agents. With post-op, it's usually related to the general anesthesia. Something's not agreeing right, it promotes bad feelings. Feelings of nausea, it's terrible sometimes what people go through. The word vomiting and the word emesis are the same thing. So we'll use those terms interchangeably. Is the screen big enough for everybody? Seeing if I can get it a little bit bigger. There you go. Now, what kind of drugs are these? Antiemetics and anti-nausea drugs. There's our friends, the anticholinergics. Your scopolamine, anticholinergic. So what's an anticholinergic drug going to do?
Dry you out.
Scopolamine is infamous for drying people out. And it does. When I had my surgery last summer, they tried scopolamine patch, and believe me, I couldn't drink enough water. I was so dry. Antihistamines, once again, will dry you out too. Some of the examples of histamines, and those are the H1, the histamine 1 blockers, the H1 blockers. They're not related to the antacid blockers, believe it or not. They are related to the H1 blockers, which we talked about in respiratory. These antihistamines, dimenhydrinate is Dramamine. Diphenhydramine we know is Benadryl. Meclizine is Bonine. They are anti-nausea meds. They're basically motion sickness and vertigo type meds. Neurokinin agonists, aprepitant is Emend, and we'll talk about that. We have a slide on that. Emend is a wonderful drug for post-op nausea and for chemotherapy nausea. Prokinetic drugs are drugs that promote gastric emptying. If you don't have anything in your stomach, you can't vomit it back up. So it promotes gastric emptying to keep everything moving. And metoclopramide is Reglan. Serotonin blockers. There's that serotonin word again. Serotonin is excitability, remember? Okay, Carolyn. Remember, serotonin excitable. Excitability, your vomiting center in your brain is overstimulated. It wants to get everything out, and it's related to serotonin. So your serotonin blockers are drugs such as Kytro, which is the granisteron. Ondansetron is God's gift to humanity, Zofran. Wonderful, wonderful drug. And also added on to this, if you want to write this one down, tetrahydrocannabinoids, derivatives of marijuana. Useful as appetite stimulant, but mostly useful in the cachectic anorexic wasting of AIDS and cancer.
Can you spell that drug, please?
Okay. This is it's not a drug, it's a category, because the drug would be Marisol. But it's T-E-T-R-A H-Y-D-R-O C-A-N-N A B-I-N-O-I-D-S. Big fancy term for THC.
So that doesn't get you high though, right? Or like,
it does?
Yeah. But it's like a pill too?
Anything with THC will give you the high effect.
Yep.
It's CBD that doesn't get you high.
Yeah.
The THC, you're getting that mental alteration.
Yep. And that's part of what helps with the nausea is the, it affects the vomiting center in your brain, and it kind of messes up with your equilibrium and helps with that nausea feeling. How do these drugs work? They work by blocking vomiting pathways, decreasing that stimulus that wants to make you vomit. Why would you use these? Depends, and we'll talk about the different, different indications for different ones, but basically to prevent and reduce nausea and vomiting. Mechanisms of action and other indications, your anticholinergics. What they do is they help with inner ear balance, is basically what that binds to. Ignore the acetylcholine receptors reference there. Basically, anticholinergics will affect your inner ear balance to help counteract motion sickness and post-op nausea and vomiting. As I said, scopolamine is wonderful. It really did the trick. As with all anticholinergics, contraindicated in glaucoma, also contraindicated in urinary retention, benign prostatic hypertrophy, all those things that we've talked about anticholinergics, still pertain to this. Your transdermal patch of scopolamine, which is usually how it's given, goes on. They usually put it behind your ear, stays on for 72 hours. That I know is a question on the upcoming test. Yes, I did those questions already.
Ooh.
Don't tell anybody, Marissa.
Can I have a revisit to the topic?
No. What's up?
Not a review, because that's a nasty word.
Yeah, that's what I figured. And next, we also meet again at the end of the day. We'll just do a quick revision. We'll do a quick rundown on these things. Okay, so nurses prepare and administer scopolamine patch to a patient. Well, scopolamine to a patient. It's most important for the nurse to determine which the patient has a history of which condition.
Glaucoma.
Yep, jumps right out at you. Glaucoma.
Excuse me, Ms. Sacker. Glaucoma is related to the pressure inside the eye. And urinary retention, you are retaining water, so it's increasing pressure. Is that the reason behind the rationale behind the thing?
The rationale behind the thing is it's drying. And what it does is as it dries, it's drying out fluid in your eye, and it's causing that glaucoma to close up a little bit more. So that's why it's the narrow angle glaucoma that's affected. It makes it close up a little bit more so that you don't have the fluid in there that you need to maintain intraocular pressure.
Thank you.
To keep that open. H1 receptor blockers. Those ones that we talked about with respiratory, not the ones that we talked about with the antacids. Prevent nausea and vomiting, prevent motion sickness. We all know that they work very well with non-productive coughs, allergy, and sedation. Knowing that they work good with sedation, remember people take Benadryl to sleep. People take Benadryl as a cough medicine. Benadryl helps with motion sickness also. Diamine hydronate is Dramamine. It's a wonderful anti-nausea. Meclizine comes as Bonine or as Antivert. It is also motion sickness medication. Or somebody that has severe
somebody that has severe vertigo for whatever reason, an inner ear infection, other medications that might make somebody have vertigo. Anti-dopaminergic drugs. They just block dopamine receptors. These are drugs that you've seen before also. These also have added indications of the ones that we use for intractable hiccups, Thorazine, Compazine, psychotic disorders, Thorazine, Compazine. So some of these things are interchangeable depending upon the indication and the dosages on them. But Compazine is a very good anti-emetic. It's used frequently in hospitals. You can give it IV or you can give it orally, which if somebody's vomiting, you don't want to give it orally, but you can give it orally for pre-op or you can give it pre-chemotherapy. Phenergan, promethazine, you shouldn't use it with children, especially children younger than 2 years of age. Both Compazine and Phenergan are sedating. You should avoid alcohol. There's an additive CNS depression with those drugs and alcohol. Promethazine, Phenergan, IV is not preferred. It's preferred to be given IM, orally, or as a rectal suppository. I found out. Yes, go ahead.
Have you ever heard of Compazine being given for anxiety?
I've never given it that way.
Yeah, my husband was just prescribed Compazine for anxiety. I was like, don't think that that's good, but I don't know. So
that's an interesting choice.
Yeah,
it can be used for psychotic disorders, but not for anxiety. Usually, you know what I mean?
Maybe he's using it for a psychotic disorder. I don't know about.
I think you should do some investigating there.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, there it goes. I found out also why droperidol, most hospitals don't use it anymore. I thought it was the cost related to it because it worked beautifully. Droperidol, remember we had that, it might've been level 3. We were having a discussion about droperidol and as an anti-emetic, and we used to use it post in PACU all the time. Wonderful, because people wake up and they're really nauseated. And a lot of them vomit, and you don't want them to vomit post-op, especially if they've had any kind of abdominal surgery, eye surgery, nose surgery, anything where you do not want them to increase pressure, either intra-abdominal or intraocular. We would give droperidol, and it worked beautifully. And then they got rid of it, and they tried to say that there was a shortage of it, so we weren't able to get it. Well, come to find out that there was a black box warning attached to it that nobody bothered to tell us about cardiac dysrhythmias. And that's why a lot of hospitals got rid of it. It wasn't the cost factor. It wasn't the fact that they stopped, you know, that there was a shortage of it. It was because it has bad side effects, which if you're just giving one dose of it, it's usually not an issue. It's people that ended up with repeated doses of it. Okay, excuse me, neurokinin receptor agonists. This is your EMEND, a aprepitant. This is for acute chemotherapy and post-op nausea. This is the drug that they'll use post-op when nothing else works for people. Oh, my battery's running low. Okay, that's better. EMEND they use for chemotherapy. A lot of times with chemotherapy, people don't get sick immediately. It's a delayed process for them. So they're able to take this, and it does help with those effects. The fosaprepitant is just the IV form of EMEND. You have to be careful with oral contraceptives with this med. It reduces the effect of oral contraceptives, which most things do. May increase the effects of steroids. A lot of times people that are getting chemotherapy, part of the pre-chemo medications that they get is usually they'll give them Decadron also. Decadron helps with nausea. And it, you know, in addition to other things, it helps with nausea also. So they will get, they will give them Decadron, but now they have to be very careful given that with the amend, because it increases the effect of Decadron. Prokinetic drugs. They block dopamine receptors. Dopamine, again, is an excitable neurotransmitter. It excites things, it stimulates, and it stimulates the vomiting center in your brain. They also use it for, as I said, gastric emptying, delayed gastric emptying. A lot of diabetics have a problem with delayed gastric emptying. They have a gastroparesis. They will give them Reglan for that. It helps to increase peristalsis. Because if there's nothing in your stomach, think of it that way. If there's nothing in your stomach, you can't vomit anything, but then you have dry heaves. But this helps to keep things moving in the stomach again and helps with peristalsis. It's contraindicated with a number of things, as in seizures, breast cancer. Some people will get extrapyramidal symptoms from this. Extrapyramidal symptoms are things such as tardive dyskinesia, the constant pill rolling, tongue thrusting, head bobbing, side effects that come from antipsychotics. So your patient is receiving continuous tube feeding through a gastrostomy tube. Which drug would be most likely to be prescribed for this patient? They wouldn't need amend because there's nothing in that comment that says anything about nausea. Emitrol, once again, there's nothing that says anything about nausea in there. Antivert, there's nothing in that question that says anything about needing a drug for motion sickness, for vertigo. Reglan promotes gastric emptying, so that would be your answer right there, Reglan. So what else do we have in our arsenal? We've got serotonin blockers. Along the lines of the dopamine blockers, decrease the excitability in somebody's brain to decrease that vomiting center stimulation. Kytral, you will see. Kytral is given as a transdermal patch. Zofran comes PO. Zofran comes IV. Zofran is the prototype. I wanted to marry the man that designed Zofran because it is a wonder drug. You usually give it 30 minutes before the end of a procedure in the operating room, and it helps to decrease the chances of post-op nausea and vomiting. Usually with cancer patients, they'll give it 30 to 60 minutes before they start the treatments. There is a risk of dysrhythmias with it. It can be used for hyperemesis in pregnant ladies. They use it with caution in the first trimester. They're trying to figure out if there's a correlation with cleft palate when used in the first trimester. But usually in the first trimester is where you have the most problems with your hyperemesis. So there's a catch-22 there. THC. Marinol is the pill form of THC. Used a lot with chemotherapy and anorexia and weight loss in AIDS patients. It's used when other therapies have failed. And it is quite effective for people. It really does help. Helps to stimulate appetite, helps to decrease nausea and vomiting. So a patient with terminal cancer has not had chemotherapy for a few weeks and has had no nausea or vomiting since. However, he is taking Marisol twice a day. The reason for Marisol order is to, well, it wouldn't prevent the recurrence of chemotherapy-induced nausea because he's not getting chemotherapy. Stress ulcers has nothing to really do with that. There's nothing in that comment that says anything about a stress ulcer. Improve his mood, yeah, it would do that. But the reason for the order is to stimulate his appetite. Your miscellaneous anti-nausea meds, Emitrol. Emitrol is sold over the counter. It's a basic conglomeration of a minty, lemony, lemon-lime type of liquid that has phosphorus in it and glucose, and it helps to alleviate nausea. They'll prescribe it for patients with, pregnant patients in the beginning to see if that helps. It's a weak drug. It's just phosphorus and glucose, basically. You need to be very careful of patients with any kind of renal insufficiency, renal disease. Ginger. Lots of people use, the ginger sodas to help with nausea and vomiting. That's what we give in PACU. When people would first wake up, we wouldn't give them water, God forbid, you would end up wearing it. You don't give them any kind of milk product, God forbid, you'd end up wearing it. And you really don't encourage them to drink any kind of soda initially. You would give them a ginger ale, let them sip it slowly. And the ginger really does help with nausea and vomiting. Now, it may has some drug interactions, may increase bleeding with anticoagulants. I guess if you drink enough ginger ale, that would be, that's the only thing you were drinking. But it does help with nausea, vomiting, morning sickness. That and a couple crackers have kept many women going through pregnancy. So what are your nursing implications with all this? Complete nausea.